Brian Moss, does it feel like Christmas to you yet?
Well, after hearing a Christmas carol, but of course.
But of course.
I have to say, I put up my tree last night, so...
God, that's a bit late.
It's half decapitated looking here, but look, it's up anyway. So
it's up and that's...
Bring it on.
So were you putting up your Christmas tree along with, while Enda Kenny was addressing you as the state of the nation?
You must have been, there's some kind of camera in my sitting room, I can tell you, because it's exactly what I was doing last night. Yeah, interesting. He gave about 7 minutes, as we know, of a speech. Very well received, I think, by most people. Look, he wasn't going to unveil any mad plans about anything, was he? He was just going to kind of reassure us. Like, I don't feel any different this morning, Sabrina. I don't know about you.
Well, that's what he warned us. He warned us not to feel any different.
Yeah, I mean, and look. Yeah, he's right. I mean, look, nothing really has changed. We will be accessing our funds on the markets, of course, to, as opposed to the programme we've been in for the last 3 years. But, I mean, he mentioned as well, unemployment is still an issue. You know, the same issues that were there at 12 o'clock last night were still there a minute past 12. But, look, to be fair to the government, I know everyone's been critical of none more so than me talking to you on the programme over the last couple of weeks. They have the commitment mandate to at least, in certain terms, get us our economic certainty. And in certain terms, we have officially. Of course, all our budgets will always be checked now in Brussels first, which may be no harm, frankly, And there'll still be very stringent conditions laid down on us as well. But I think, you know, we're the first of the pigs country to emerge as well. And, he said a very telling line, I think, last night, Enda Kenny, and probably his most telling line was, we're never going to return to the days of greed.
Well, the days of decking and Land Rovers is what I like to refer to it as.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And buying houses off plans and places that may not even exist. They might be anywhere, you know. So I think hopefully people would heal that. But you got to wonder, you could walk around South Dublin at the moment, a place like that, and there's you know, gazumping going on and all that kind of stuff going on again. And everyone seems to have the builders out again. So will the Irish learn their lesson? I don't know. But, you know, in fairness to Enda Kenny, it was a good day for him. It was a good night. He didn't stumble on his words. He looked a bit frightened on camera. But look, he's not a TV presenter. We can forgive him that. But all in all, I think a good night's work for Enda Kenny.
Well, the stumbling of the words is actually something that's really come out. An awful lot of people, they tend not to listen to too much of the message or just the words. People kind of expect Enda Kenny to... Yeah. Fall over things and not be a good orator. And one of the phrases that came out of the speech last night was the phrase might and maim. Now, when I heard this phrase, I said to myself, did he try and say night and day?
Yes, he does fall over. He famously fell over a flower pot there as well a couple of years ago. But I mean, that's the biggest thought. You look at Twitter, it's really kind of childish, really. But apparently, listen to the commentary this morning, was meant, it has a reference to with all of his might.
Yes, with all of his strength, yep.
With all of his strength, I think. So he did mean it. I have to say, as I was putting the angel on top of my Christmas tree, I nearly fell over. Oh, you were so close to getting through, you know.
Yeah.
And as you know, reading on air and live, it's difficult at best times. And I thought, okay, and I knew, well, that's going to be the biggest story tomorrow. Did he mean might and may? Strange line, really. I would have said night and day. I think that's what 99.9% of the people would have done. But look, Enda Kenny has always tried to do things different, I suppose, he'll say. And it was a good line, only that no one understood it. But
the intention was there.
A bit of an anchorman moment. But look, as I said, other than that, he did fine. Again, he does look a little bit uncomfortable in TV cameras. But you know, I always say we had a Taoiseach before him who was very comfortable in front of the TV cameras, who was a great guy in media, as he would call it, and didn't end well. So maybe we're better off with someone, you know, he's not great on TV, but, you know, good at the job of being Taoiseach, which is basically chairman of a CEO of the biggest corporation in the state. So, you know, good day for him, as I said. And, yeah, I mean, I thought what he said well, and I thought it did resonate with people. But, you know, we'll have to see.
It was quite short. It was quite short. It was about 8 minutes long.
Yeah, but in around 8 minutes. And, you know, that's a lot to get through. And I suppose, as I say, he was never going into specifics. He mentioned that there will be a new economic plan that will be unveiling. He mentioned in very generic terms what needs to be done. Of course, Michael McGrath, a Fianna Fáil finance spokesperson, was quick to pounce on this morning because the Taoiseach said during the speech, you know, he hopes to have a further 100,000 jobs created over the next couple of years of this present administration, which would mean that we would still have 300,000 people unemployed, which is still hopping around the 8%, 9%, 10%, 11%, which, you know, isn't great. But I think at least he's been realistic. We're still going to have huge problems with immigration. But I do sense a feel, I have to say, that people are I suppose, a little bit more confident in themselves, I think. And I think that's one thing that the last 3 years has eroded from Irish people, is their confidence. You lose a job and you can't get a job, it's your confidence, more as much as your financial problems are an issue. So I slowly think, as we create more jobs and people get themselves back into programs, training programs, everything else, our confidence as a nation has come back. Because we have been shook, I can tell you. And you know that better than anyone. You talk to people as much as I do in terms of doing the job. And people, I think, are slowly looking forward to this Christmas, probably more so than in the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was out and around, as you were saying, kind of starting to feel a little bit more like Christmas, that I was actually nipping out and around on Saturday afternoon doing a few bits and pieces. And do you know what? Couldn't get parking. Couldn't get into shops. I mean, unless people are just trying to soak up some atmosphere, there's certain to be some kind of confidence back in spending power. Whether or not people are borrowing in order to cover Christmas or not is another, the whole other thing. But there seems to be an awful lot more activity. Now, the fact that remains that we have to wait and see what happens in January, because January is the telltale.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head. And maybe this fact that you've just recently passed your driving test, people knew that and didn't want to park near you. That could, that could be an issue. But you're right, you know. And it's certainly a feeling, I think, it's mirrored in a lot of the major towns across the country. Look, it's not perfect. There's still, you walk down every main street, you know what it's like. There's loads of empty units. There's closing down sales up. People are struggling. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, there's something in the air, I think, that has been there the last couple of years. But we have to, you know, take into consideration, we can't go back to where we were. Some people, I think, want to go back to where we were, which is crazy and was never a realistic prospect. So we need to get to that middle ground, you know, where, you know, we'll never have full unemployment again. But if we get down to 6-7%, you know, that's probably where the real, you know, our real unemployment level should be. You know, we'll never get down to where we were in the 2%, which was just because everyone was building everything and everyone was working in buildings, you know, and all that kind of stuff that took a lot of people. So if we can get down to 5-7%, which would be our natural curve, I think, you know, if you look back historically, that's what we're aiming for. And that's still, we've still a hell of a long way to go. I mean, as I mentioned, there's still, you know, going to be 450,000 odd people with no job this Christmas, you know. So, you know, you have to take that in consideration as well. But as I said, it's kind of nice, I think, at the moment to have a bit of positivity about the place, I think, you know, and that's something we can be thankful for.
I do think so too. Just looking at some of the reactions on Twitter as well to the State of the Nation speech last night, and the one that stood out to me the most is he didn't say Happy Christmas.
He didn't say Happy Christmas.
No. How do you feel about that?
It
wasn't really the point of the speech.
I'd expect him to say, and to all living in home and abroad, null and kind of dits or whatever. It didn't. Maybe just some people have too much of a Happy Christmas overspend. Maybe, you know, don't have a medium Christmas. Maybe that's where this Christmas is. Have an okay Christmas. Don't go mad. Yeah. We know what happened before, you know. I think we're like the child that maybe we were in detention or sitting on an audience the last couple of years, and like, he's wagging a finger. Look, you know what happens if you start behaving like you did before. You know what happens, you know. So yeah, maybe he should have said Happy Christmas. Didn't have a Christmas tree in the background either. I seem to recall. So it was a bit strange.
Fairy lights.
Maybe he was going putting it up today.
Perhaps a Santa stop here sign would have been a little bit more appropriate.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe so, yeah. Maybe
so, of course, as well, over the weekend, some big news as well was the board of the CRC resigning. Of course, charity is a huge thing that's in the media at the moment, and charitable donations. And you were telling me a little bit about something that was in the Sunday Independent yesterday.
Yeah, great spread in the Independent yesterday. Really, like, you know, really top journalism really there yesterday. And basically, there's 40 of the best known charities. I'm sure a lot of people read it that get this Sunday Independent. And it basically just detailed how much money to get, how much money to spend, what their CEO earns, and like, a hell of a lot of money goes in administration, it's been revealed, you know. Most, like, a lot of the CEOs of charities are on big money. Big money. And that was quite an eye-opener to me. The average wage, let's say, in the charity sector, looking outside of Ireland, really, is about 60,000. So you have people like Fergus Finlay from Barnardo's on 111,000. And they're open about their wages. It's fine. You know, it's there on record. And several other charities, Amnesty International, Colin McGorman, I think, gets over 100,000 as well. And then there's pensions and everything else. So look, they earn big money. They will say they you know, they do a really good job, which they do, of course. I was quite surprised, actually, at how well heads of charity are paid. It's a serious, serious amount of money, you know. Better than most ministers, actually, the flat rate of pay in many cases. So, you know, there's money in charities, you know, so
it's often very surprising. But I mean, with an awful lot of very high profile charities, they're trying to get they're trying to attract in the kind of people that have a huge amount of experience sitting on boards and directing companies and running profitable businesses. So ultimately, if you want the, you know, to get a person like that, you have to bankroll that too. And you know, a lot of these contracts, you know, it's not the person who's receiving the money is at fault. I mean, they were given a contract that said, you know, you're going to get this. So what's is it the charity that shouldn't be allowing these contracts? Is it, you know, is it the fact that they're being topped up by, you know, people aren't, is it the transparency issue here that people aren't aware, you know?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. In the sense that a lot of money is paid out. Now, the problem is there's no regulation. You know, with charities, and that's an issue, and that's what people have been calling for, and people have been for. And I mentioned Fergus Finney; he has been to the fore saying there needs to be a regulator, there needs to be clear guidelines as to what can be paid, what can't be paid, where the money has come from. There needs a hell of a lot more transparency. I think you're going to see in a couple of weeks more than just to see the Central Media Clinic in the headlines for this kind of thing, where top up from pensions, top up from fundraising activities, top up from places that when you put your few bob into the, you know, into the bucket, that you presume, well, that's going to where I wanted to go, which is helping those directly affected by whatever disability or charity that they're collecting for. And that isn't the case. But again, look, these things, they are business. And you do, as you said, have to attract experienced people. You can't just have anyone trying to run these organisations. And they do a hell of a lot of good work. Let's not forget that. But they're very well remunerated. I'm having an issue with my M this morning.
Might and Mame, huh? Might and Mame.
Might and Mame. That's my Might and Mame anchorman moment. So, look, I mean, regulation, I think, is on the way in the charity sector, Section 38 and Section 39, over the next, I would imagine, lifetime of this government, something's going to have to be done. But I don't think Central Media Clinic are alone in this. And I suspect, just from the hints from journalists who've been speaking about this, who are investing in it, there is more to come down the line. And again, let's remember, some charities are saying there could be a 40% reduction in donations. And that affects those people directly who seek the need of those charities, which is the saddest thing.
Of course, that is exactly where the problem lies. Brian Moss, you've been an absolute star this morning, and I hope that Christmas tree stays up. When do you take it down now?
I don't know. Whenever in the Kenya addresses the nation again, then it's coming down. So hopefully 2 or 3 years, you don't need to do it. Great talking to you, and cheers.
Good man, Brian. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning about the State of the Nation address last night. Absolutely great stuff.